Today, Lord, with expectant hearts, with hearts of gratitude. Lord, I'm so grateful for this opportunity for Chris to share a word, to share something that the Lord has placed, that you have placed on his heart, Lord. And I call him forth right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I call him blessed. I call his family blessed. I call everything that he touches, Lord, blessed. And I pray that you will allow him to speak this day at this moment with a rhema word that will forever change and inspire and strengthen each one of us, Lord. I thank you for his willingness to speak. I thank you for his obedience, Lord. And I thank you that you'll give him his heart's desire. This day we say yes to whatever the word is. This day we say thank you for speaking to your people. And God, by faith, we seal these things with the precious, precious blood of Jesus. And we thank you for being our Lord and Savior. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for having me. Obviously excited to be here with you guys this morning. And I just always want to cheer you on because it's such an awesome thing that you guys do as far as prioritizing and bringing the kingdom into the workplace. You know, if we're not careful, we can compartmentalize our lives and leave the kingdom on Sunday morning and not bring it into the workplace, because when we do that, it holds us accountable, right? The Bible tells us specifically that we should have a higher level of character. And sometimes, we don't have that in the workplace like that we should. So I'm glad that you guys come together on a Wednesday morning just to prioritize the kingdom and invite Jesus into every part of your life. And I can guarantee you when you do that, he'll bless you for it. He'll bless your business for it. And I think he desires that, just to be welcomed in. So I just want to cheer you on as far as what you're doing consistently on a weekly basis. And I'm very thankful to kind of have an opportunity this morning to talk about Jesus, right? Amen. And just kind of what he's done for me. And Alan invited me to come to speak. Well, he sent me a text, I guess, right after we did a worship night at the school, which was absolutely incredible. And he's like, hey, man, just share a little bit about what you shared there. And that's kind of what I'm going to do. But the way that we started the night off was with the testimonies. And we had some young ladies get up there and really just share their hearts and just tell what the Lord has done from them. And some of their testimonies were, hey, the Lord delivered me from this, brought me out of this. And the other part of the testimony is he kept me from this. He didn't allow me to do this and kind of convicted me before I ever made those kind of decisions. So I just want every one of us to understand, first and foremost, the power of our testimony. Amen. Right? We all have them. And I want you to hear and really listen to what the scripture says about the power of a testimony. Because I know it's easy to get on here with some notes to the side and share a little bit about Jesus. But really, when I'm sitting in the front seat of a truck with somebody trying to not invite them to church, but introduce them to Jesus, a lot of times the way that I do that is I share what Jesus has done in my life and the things that he's brought me out of. But in Revelations 20:11, this is what it says about a testimony. It says, and they overcame him, talking about the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. So in the same sentence, the scripture gives so much value to each one of our testimonies that it is actually in the same sentence as the blood of the Lamb, right? And a testimony does this. It brings our Father glory first and foremost as far as that goes, and what he's done in each one of our personal lives. And it makes a declaration that says this, that I know he's not, he doesn't show favoritism to anybody. And if he's done it in my life, I know that he can do it in yours. And a lot of times we don't share, Alan, our testimony the way that we should, because Amen. Sometimes I think we're embarrassed by it. Or maybe there's some shame and guilt there that we've been living right for just a little bit of time, right? And we forget what God brought us out of. Amen. So never lose the opportunity to bring God glory by declaring the things that he delivered you from and brought you out of. Because any conversion, as far as that goes, when we begin to believe in Jesus, it should be this. I did live this way. Now I'm living like this, right? I was in bondage. Now I'm set free, Amen. Right? I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel, you know, my self-worth, my identity, all those things that only come from Jesus. I didn't have that, but now since he fathers me, now I do. Good. And so I would just tell you, never forget where God brought you from.
Hallelujah. Right?
And he's always taking us to somewhere else, and I get that, but always bring him glory. And sometimes having the humility, right, enough to share our testimony where he originally found us as far as that goes. And I'll tell you what, sharing my testimony always fires me up. It always fires me up. Why? Because it says this in the scripture. It says, listen, he who is forgiven of much is thankful for much.
Hallelujah.
So the way that I keep my heart posture of thanksgiving, as far as that goes, is I remember those things. And he's faithful. And he's provided for me here. He's done all these things in my life. And now I have a history with the Lord. I just don't read about him in the scripture. That's I can true. Remember what he did last year, last month, and last week in my life. And it brings him glory. So that's just a testimony. Use your testimony to bring God glory, right? Your testimony might be different than mine, but it's not less valuable than mine. It is personal. It is intimate, and it is what God has done in your life, okay? So that was the testimony part of it. And what I really spoke about is freedom in Christ. And, you know, and I grew up in the South, and we went to church and all these things. And I could probably tell you everything that I shouldn't do, but nobody really told me what to do. They would tell me this, don't look at that, don't touch that, don't use that language, but nobody showed or told me how to live for the kingdom. Nobody discipled me in such a way that I could use the love of the Father to live for the kingdom. And so freedom in Christ is a big deal, right? And so this is what John 8:36 says, John 8:36, because God wants us to be free from sin, free from the stain of sin, right?
Yep.
And free from the shame of sin. I know 70-year-old men that are still held in captivity and bondage because of the shame that they did when they were in their 20s, in their 30s, and they think that they're damaged goods. Just because I have the microphone this morning, I've been set free and delivered from more than most as far as that goes.
Hallelujah.
And that's what brings the zeal and the passion about me because of what God did in my life. So this is what it says. It says, if the Son, talking about Jesus, therefore shall make you free. You don't have a choice. That when you invite Jesus into your heart and begin to live from him, he makes you free. He makes you free, right?
Yep.
You shall be free indeed. Free from shame, free from guilt, free from condemnation as far as that goes. You are forgiven. And I know it sounds like, but we don't get this. You are free from sin that you committed last night, last week, and last year.
Hallelujah.
And what people don't tell you is you actually have a tendency to sin even after you believe. And that's where the devil gets us, right? He didn't say you're always going to get it right once you believe in me. The blood of Jesus sets us free and forgives us from the past, present, and future sins. Because what happens and the reason we're captive as far as that goes to the opinions of others and the lies of the enemy as far as that goes, that you need to be able to declare a thing over your life that if you make a mistake, fall short, right? Sin. I'm not trying to dress it up. That you fall short in sin, you need to be able to confess that thing. The Bible says this, confess your sins one to another. Don't pretend like you don't have any.
Amen.
Think about this. Think about the last month of your life. I would bear to say maybe you lost your temper, you spoke to somebody unkindly, whatever that looks like, whatever your struggle is, it might be different than mine. Mine knows worse than yours, and yours is no worse than mine. But if you confess that thing, do you have a group of men sitting around you, whether it be at the workplace, in your family, or at the church, where you can say, hey, man, fell short here, right? The reason Jesus sent them out two by two is if one fell down, the other could be there to pick them up, right?
Amen.
And so what happens if we begin to live for Jesus for a little bit of time, we put that stadium cell phone and we pretend to be something we're not, and the enemy will beat you over the head because he knows exactly what you did and the choices you made and how you made the mistakes that you've made. You better learn how to run to Jesus when you make a mistake instead of run away from him. Adam taught us what not to do, right?
Yep.
Adam, first sin, he ran from Jesus. And this is before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Did God run away from him or did he come to him? He said, where are you at? Like he didn't know. He knew where he was at. Then he made the first animal sacrifice to atone for the sin of Adam before the law was even there.
Amen.
He said, let me take care of that. Right? He wrapped him in animal skin. So, all right. I get excited.
Hallelujah.
All right. Free indeed. Free indeed. Okay? And just any degree of bondage is not being set free. You can get out of prison, but if you still got an ankle monitor on and you got to stay at the house, you're still in bondage. And what happens is, listen, I'm not in the degree of captivity I used to be in, and you become okay with the degree of bondage you're in now. It's lesser than. But he said, listen, who makes you free? You are free indeed. All right? Let me tell you about this. Jesus didn't just come to get us to heaven. He didn't come just to get us to heaven. He came and paid the price to get heaven inside of you.
Yes.
He didn't come so that we could know a scripture. He came that we could live one.
Glory.
Hear the difference. You can know about Jesus and not live one, right?
Amen.
And I always compared the gospel, the good news, the messages of Jesus to a medicine. Right, Alan, at the pharmacy, they can read that prescription label all day long, over and over again. But until they ingest that, apply it to their lives, that's when the benefits happen. And so many times, people know so much about Jesus, but live so little.
That's good.
We know so much about Jesus. He becomes familiar to us. We got apps on our phone. We got all these access to the word as far as that goes. And we devalue how precious it is. We hear it so much, it becomes familiar. But listen, it's the word that set you free. Why? Because it said Jesus did that. And it said, listen, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The truth is this, you received his grace. Now receive his truth. The truth is this, you are loved beyond measure.
Glory God.
If I'm being real with you, Alan, just for a second, you know, us guys like to act a little tougher than we actually are. Sometimes we got an underbelly and we're insecure about certain things, and we care more about what's in the bank account as far as that goes, or what we're providing for, and we use the worldly standards to look where we're at, and if we're doing good here, then we're worth more. If you don't get your God-given value, purpose, and an identity out of your relationship with Jesus, you're only good as everything's going.
Amen.
All right. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says this, freedom in Jesus. There is therefore now, today, no condemnation. Hallelujah. So if you're being condemned for the things that you have done, past, present, or future, it's not from the kingdom. It's not from the kingdom. Therefore, there is now, today, this morning, right now, as I speak, and tomorrow, because he'll be there too, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It has made me free from the law of sin and death, okay? So what we do with our freedom matters. It matters. It matters, okay? What we do with our freedom matters. In Galatians 5:13, it says this, for you, my brothers, were called to freedom. You and me, we were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the sinful nature, worldly desire, selfishness, but through love, serve and seek the best for one another. The Bible says this, it says faith works through love. That's the conduit of faith and how God manifests himself in our lives, in action as far as that goes. It says faith works through love.
Hallelujah.
All right? And so we're set free, and what we do with our freedom matters. And I'm about to tell you a very, very familiar Bible story. We all know it, but please let it take root in our heart and mind and let it mean something to you this morning, okay? It's Acts 16 through 25 through 30. Acts 16, 25 through 30 is where Paul and Silas are worshiping and when they are locked up in the jail, okay? I'm a big worship guy because I know what God does for me in the middle of worship, right? I enter in with my worry, my fear, my anxiety, all these things, and the great exchange happens, right?
Yep.
He gives me joy for peace. I mean, he gives me peace for fear. He gives me joy for sadness. He does all these things. The great exchange happens, and I believe we're created to worship.
Amen.
And sometimes I don't think us guys really do a good job as far as allowing ourselves to fully surrender to God in worship, right? We're too prideful, right?
Yep.
The Bible says this, God opposes the proud, right? But draws near to the humble, okay? He opposes the proud, and I'm going to give you some scriptures about worship real quick too. It says this. Listen, it says in Psalms 22 and 3, it says, he inhabits the praise of his people. He inhabits the praise of his people. Meaning literally, he enthrones our praises, okay? Psalms 104 says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, right? And this is just a picture of a guarded city, right? They had the gate on the outside. It said, listen, come to me thankful, first and foremost, and then enter into my presence, as far as that goes, with praise and worship. So that's how we get into the presence of the Lord, or one of the ways, right? And listen to what it says about the presence of the Lord. Listen to this. It says, in his presence is the fullness of joy.
That's good.
I'm worshiping, I'm entering in, and in his presence is the fullness of joy. Fullness, meaning lacking nothing. The fullness of joy, okay? Nehemiah says it this way in 8:10. It says, listen, so we enter in with praise and worship, right? In his presence is the fullness of joy. It says this, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on, put it all together. Put it all together. We enter in with praise, in thanksgiving as far as that goes. Our joy is made full, right? And what does that joy do? It strengthens me to fight another day, right? It gives me the courage, the power, all those things that I need to live for Jesus, okay? Listen to this. I'm about to title it. Hebrews 12:2 says this, because of the joy set before him. Who? Jesus. Jesus, the joy set before him. What was that joy? Me and you, fully alive, fully surrendered, living for him, okay? Because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So what did it take, Alan, for him to endure the cross? But the joy of the Lord, right? To be his strength. And what does he tell us, right? In Matthew 16:24, it says this, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. So it took the joy of the Lord for Jesus to bear his cross. It sounds like it might take the joy of the Lord, which is my strength, to bear mine.
Amen.
How did we start? Thanks for asking. Worship. I entered into his presence, fullness of joy. Oh.
Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah. All right. Acts 16, yeah, the worship of Peter and Silas, and why worship is so powerful, and what we do with our freedom matters, okay? So we know the story. They're locked up. So they didn't have their ducks in a row. Everything wasn't going good, okay? They had trouble, all these things, but did it stop their worship? No. Why? Because they knew if they could begin to worship, the joy of the Lord would come upon them to be their strength to do whatever they were called to do. Just because sometimes we think that we're in the middle of God's will, we're not going to have any trouble. They were. They were, okay? And this is what they were going through. The earth quakes, it shakes, it opens the door. The keeper of the prison sees the door open, right? These are the people that were holding them in bondage. He sees the door open, knew what would happen if they got their freedom. So it says this, it says, listen, he began to fall on his sword. He was going to take his own life as far as that goes. But Paul and Silas used their freedom to bring freedom to others. Listen at the response, because they were worshiping, enter into his presence. They were made strong. The God set them free as far as that goes. And what they did with their freedom, they could have told them, they could have ran. They could have said, listen, God, open the door for me. Here I go. In verse 30, it says this. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Why? Because what they did with their freedom matters.
Amen.
What you do with your freedom matters. So we use our freedom to operate in the things of the kingdom, right? To bring God glory, to manifest his goodness as far as that goes. And so like what I mentioned earlier, when the word became flesh and dwelled among us, right? That's the blueprint. That's exactly what he wants for you. He wants the scripture to come alive in you in such a way that the word is planted on the inside of me and it comes alive and it is manifest through the life that we live. The word became flesh and dwelled among us. And we think that's only Jesus. He said, go and do likewise.
Yep.
Go and do likewise.
Amen.
And so he wants to impregnate us with his spirit and with his word as far as that goes until we begin to manifest the things of the kingdom. Not to know about him, but to live like him. Okay? And I'm going to read one more scripture and then I will be done as far as that goes. Just listen to this. Listen to this invitation. And sometimes we use this scripture to fill the altars, but I'm telling you, you need to have this in your heart and mind every day so you can come back to him again, so you can surrender again, so you can sit back at his feet again, so you can be encouraged, edified, built up in the holy place where you need strength, right? Bring your whole self before the Lord, all your mistakes, right? All these things, and as a lot of men listening right now, sometimes the enemy puts all this pressure on us. To be the husband, to be the provider, to be a dad, to be all these things that without God that we cannot be. And we try to do it on our own and use our own ability and own strength to get things done and to make things happen and to make things grow as far as that goes. Instead of this, you know, when Paul talks about fighting the good fight of faith, I think we have that idea wrong. The good fight of faith is this, Alan, is getting back to Jesus again.
Amen.
getting back to his feet again, surrendering again, getting in his presence again. That is the good fight of faith. And staying in that heart posture. Okay. Matthew 11:28-30. It says this. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." All you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Did you hear the promise? What do you do with the promises of the Father? Is this just another nice scripture as far as that goes, Alan, that we read? And then when I need rest, I don't remember this thing as far as that goes. And all I got to do, if I want rest, and sign me up for rest, peace, and joy, and all those things, is come back to the Father. Come back to the Father. I know so many times that God has got to get me to the end of myself before I come back to Him. And the invitation was there to come back to Him at the beginning instead of at the end. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the kind of rest that sleep doesn't fix. You hear me? This is not talking about I feel good. This is peace, comfort, all those things that only come in. It says, listen, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. It said, hitch your wagon to me, right? Let me drive your life, your decisions, as far as that goes. And it says, learn of me. Be a good student of Jesus. Sometimes we get a little Bible knowledge and we forget that we're called disciples. That means student. Learner, continue to learn, right? We don't know anything until we start to live it. It's head knowledge instead of heart knowledge, okay? Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Not your spirit, your souls. Mind, will, and emotion, okay? For your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, okay?
Hallelujah.
I think that's all I got.
Okay, let me jump. Hallelujah. What a word. I think what Chris really, really did a fantastic job explaining was what he calls, and I would definitely call, the great exchange. We have emotions. We have less than. The enemy tries to hit us over the head with all these, you know, negative thoughts. And when we do mess up, and when we do have sin, and when all these things come upon us, and God has, in throughout from Genesis all the way to Revelations, taught us to come exchange that with me. If it don't almost sound too good to be true, then it's not the God I serve. He's telling us, listen, I've got power, I've got peace, I've got love, I've got comfort, I've got joy. You have these negative things, and all you got to do is bring them to me. Because I'm a good father, most of the time I won't come beat you over the head. I need you to bring them to me and cause that great exchange. And I have good news, brothers and sisters. Today, God is not scared of your sin.
Yeah.
God is not scared of my sin. There's not a great battle going on that a lot of us think that it's the enemy versus God. God is the one in control of it all. And yes, the enemy's fighting against us. But like Brother Chris said, he's waiting on us to bring heaven to earth. The Bible says that creation itself is yearning and desiring for the true sons of God to be revealed. God is waiting for us to flip planet Earth and to bring back the garden. He's waiting on us to bring back certain things. And I thank God for the exchange that Brother Chris talked about. I thank God for the exchange of hardships and pain and worry, that God will give us peace and love. And I'll close with this today. Last night in Dalton, we had some bad storms. Like, it got to a point that I got the kids and Alex and little Teddy in our little safe room downstairs. And Isabel looked up at me with tears in her eyes. And she said, "Dad, is everything okay?" And I know as a father, there's nothing I would have stopped at to make sure that little girl felt comfort and felt security. But if I can do that, Being falling short of the glory, falling short of perfection, falling short of many, many things. If I can do that, the Bible says, being evil, if I know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more so the Heavenly Father knows how to take care of us. We are like that little girl that we want comfort, we want understanding, we want love, we want redemption. And I promise you the Father offers it today. But the big question is, will we exchange with Him like Brother Chris taught us about this morning? Let's pray. I honor you, Yahweh.
Thank you.
I thank you, Father, that you are exactly who you say that you are. You're good all by yourself. You're powerful. You're full of love. You're full of grace. You're waiting for us to exchange our hardships with your easiness. You're waiting on us to exchange our pain with your joy. And more than anything, Lord, I pray that we will exchange our sin for your forgiveness, that we can live what Brother Chris taught us about, that we can have heaven on earth today, Lord. And I pray that you will refill the man of God this day with the same power that he poured out, God. I pray for a tenfold blessing upon him and his wife and his children. Lord, I call them anointed and I call them forgiven. I call them strong, Lord. I proclaim blessings will follow them, that money will chase him down, Lord. I thank you for Brother Kevin, God, for giving us this platform and this opportunity to speak to people, Lord. And I thank you for every life that's been changed and that will be changed, Lord. I call us blessed and I call us highly favored. I say that we are the heads and no more the tails, that we are the lenders, no more the borrowers. Yahweh, more than anything, I call us sons and daughters of the Most High God, forgiven, blessed, and redeemed. We are who you say that we are because you don't know how to lie, God, and you can't fall short. You are good all by yourself. And this day, Yahweh, I say hallelujah to you now and forever. I thank you, God, for every testimony, for every time that we overcome because of who you are and your goodness. Yahweh, we bless you this day. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for your forgiveness and your love. We thank you that you, like a good father, bring us back into the fold time and time again. It was the greatest exchange that ever happened, Lord, when you sent your son to die for us so that we could be more than victorious, so that we could be more than overcomers in him that knew no sin yet became sin, so that we could be the righteousness of you in Christ Jesus. We settle these things this day and we believe them to be so, God. We bless you and we thank you and we consider them done by faith in you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.